This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 5:05, you're with Lynn and Kelvin, and it is time for another installment of Popit Popit Parliament. Ayman Rashad has the updates.
Thanks, Lynn. I'll start first with the protest against the Penang South Reclamation Project. So there were about 300 people in Parliament, outside Parliament today, and they were made up of fishermen and environmental activists. They started from Tugu Negara and they went to Parliament, and it was quite a sight because they were wearing matching T-shirts and there were these banners and placards in all sizes and colours, and they were protesting the Penang South Reclamation Project, which, as you know, involves creating 3 man-made islands, and parts of these islands will be auctioned off, and that money will then be used to fund projects under the Penang Transport Master Plan. So these people were there to hand over a memorandum, and during the discussions, Mansur Yusof from the Perak Fishermen Association said that this project will basically wipe out their community and their culture.
Ini melibatkan kehidupan kaum nelayan yang sudah bergantung kepada tangkap ikan lebih kurang 200 tahun. Bukan saja dari segi ekonomi, ini juga dari segi budaya dan hidup sebagai community. Mereka ada budaya, mereka ada tradisi, mereka ada agama. So ini semua akan hilang terus. These are intangible things that will be wiped out.
He was also wondering, why is development being concentrated on the island when across the bridge on the mainland there is lots of land to be used?
Just go across, beribu-ribu ekar ada. Pasal apa tumpukan semua pembangunan di pulau saja? Ini adalah idea penjajah dulu yang gunakan pulau sebagai pusat untuk perdagangan mereka. Sekarang ini kita sudah merdeka, kita mesti diversify dan balance the development between the island and the mainland.
That was Mansur Yusof from the Perak Fishermen Association. Which government reps were there to receive the memorandum?
Well, Datuk Haji Salahuddin Ayub, who is the Minister of Agriculture and Agro-Based Industry, he was there to speak with the delegates. And this is what he said after the meeting.
Perkara ini akan saya bawa bagi pihak Kementerian Pertanian untuk kita perhatikan. Dan sebenarnya isu ini juga melibatkan beberapa kementerian yang lain, seperti alam sekitar, pengangkutan dan seumpamanya. Oleh itu, setakat ini Majlis Mesyuarat Fizikal Negara masih lagi belum memutuskan tentang projek ini kerana menunggu laporan daripada pelbagai pihak. Dan bagi pihak Kementerian Pertanian, kita akan teliti dengan cermat semua laporan ini. Dan kita akan bincang selanjutnya nanti dengan beberapa kementerian yang lain.
The Prime Minister Tun Mahathir also says that he will study the memorandum to see if what is being claimed is true.
Kita akan kaji pendapat mereka, dan jika benar apa yang disangka oleh mereka, maka kita akan ambil tindakan yang sesuai.
That was Dun M commenting on the protest held outside Parliament today against the Penang South Reclamation Project. And to reference, I think, what was said earlier by Mansur Yusof, who is from the Perak Fishermen Association, right? We recently did something to this effect on the show where we spoke about fishermen and their livelihoods and really whether or not enough is being done to understand where they're coming from, right? About whether or not enough is being done to support their culture. And our guest at the time, Serena Abdul Rahman, seemed to say that I don't think that's the case at the moment.
Yeah. It's specifically about the Penang Master Transport Plan. We've also spoken to Khoo Salma in the past about what the plan would eventually mean for the fishing community in Penang. And it's not great news. It is a severe risk to the community.
Yeah. Yes, and I do sympathise with the fishermen as well, because this project might displace them and they would either have to take on another job, which they have to learn new skills for, or they have to go deeper into the sea, which will involve more costs in terms of fuel or equipment and all those other requirements.
Also retraining, right? Because it would be just a completely different method of doing things. Tell us what you think. Is this project a good one? Do you Do you sympathise, I suppose, with the plight of the fishermen and what they're talking about? You can call us with your thoughts, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
What's next, Ayman?
Well, as you've heard a couple of days ago, Barisan Nasional appointed former Prime Minister Najib Razak as the chairman of BN's advisory board. So, apparently, this decision was unanimous amongst the component party heads, but some UMNO members weren't too pleased with this decision, including Kari Jamaluddin, who is the Rembau MP, and Datuk Sri Nazri Aziz, who is the Padang Rengas MP, and they felt that this move was regressive. So today we asked Datuk Sri Dr. Zahid Hamidi, who is the UMNO president, how he felt about the dissatisfaction expressed by these UMNO, these BN members.
Siapa pun boleh memberikan pendapat peribadi. Yang penting semua pihak mesti melangkah ke hadapan, membantu Barisan Nasional dan UMNO untuk memperkukuhkan parti. Jika terdapat tokoh atau individu yang mempunyai idea yang terbaik bagi melakukan sesuatu yang lebih berbentuk proaktif, ianya amat dialu-alukan. Ianya dipersetujui oleh Presiden MCA dan MRC serta ahli-ahli Dewan Tertinggi Barisan Nasional yang terdiri daripada tokoh-tokoh utama ketiga-tiga parti. Maka tentunya ada sebab yang kuat untuk Datuk Seri Najib memberikan pandangannya di dalam platform yang beliau pernah ketuai.
So Zahid Hamidi then says that MCA and MIC gave their support for Najib's appointment, but did PAS have a say?
Well, according to Datuk Taqiyuddin Hassan, who is the PAS Secretary General, he said that they don't have any issues with this outcome and that PAS will not get involved with the internal disagreements of other parties.
Asalkan anggota di dalam Barisan Nasional secara konsensus setuju, saya rasa itu sudah tentulah mereka memikirkan sesuatu yang baik. Itu urusan mereka. PAS tidak akan campur tangan dalam urusan ini.
So we've heard then from a number of different politicians, but let's hear from you. Will having our former Prime Minister, Datuk Sri Najib Razak, as one of BN's top advisors bode well for them? Do you think that it reflects well upon the opposition at this point in time? Why do they keep putting people who have serious legal troubles high up within their organisation? That's something I'm not getting.
I have a feeling it's likely related to the fact that they just don't have a very strong pipeline in terms of talent. You know, old bastions have held up power for so long that they just don't know who to appoint. You know, who are they? It's also about the party's willingness to embrace younger and fresher ideas, and they don't seem to be so open to it yet.
There's a bit of a hangover with past leaders who still have some kind of a strong influence in the party and the coalition as well. So maybe that's a reason.
I think when it comes to the pipeline thing, it also, because of the structure of those particular parties, you know, it also depends on who has more influence and power. And like you said, right, if you have many, many years to build up wealth, influence, power, to build up, you know, pockets of support within the political party, then that's also why I think those bastions, as you say, are continuing to hold strong, because the younger ones aren't going to have that same amount of time and influence.
No, and it really speaks to the fact that the youth wing's leader is 43 years old, and that just says something that, you know, for a youth wing to have a leader that is already above the current limit and the age definition of what a youth is.
Before they lowered it.
So, you know what? I don't know where UMNO is going with this. Good luck to them.
So we want to hear from you. Will having Najib as one of their top advisors bode well for Barisan Nasional? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Ayman, what else happened?
Well, you might have seen reports in the newspapers yesterday about a memorandum from a few Orang Asli communities, which is handed over to Parliament. In the memorandum, it says that some women were allegedly being forced to take birth control medication, either via injection or orally.
That's right. And the women said that details about the birth control weren't given to them, including what the side effects would be.
Yeah, so when we were in Parliament, there was not much information yet from the Ministry of Health to explain the situation. Dr. Lee Boon Chye, who is the Deputy Minister of Health, she only said that a press statement will be released soon. I did, however, speak with Dr. Kelvin Yee, the Kuching MP, who said that he had heard similar stories happening in Cameron Highlands as well.
Actually, I was in Cameron Highlands during the by-election, and I was informed of these allegations as well. Of course, I understand the logic behind why maybe contraceptives were advised to the Orang Asli because of to control for family planning, especially in the conditions of poverty. However, no matter what, the rights of the patient has to be respected. And that means that the patient has to be fully explained why such medication has been used, even the side effects of such medications. Because from what I heard, they were never explained. They were never told what the side effects, and they claim that they suffer all kinds of side effects. So at the end of the day, while the intention may be noble, but the rights of a patient, including Orang Asli's, must be respected. By not respecting the rights of the patients, that itself is grounds for medical negligence.
So that was Kuching MP Dr. Kelvin Yee commenting on recent allegations that Orang Asli women have been forced to take contraception. Health Minister Dato Sri Dr. Zulkifli Ahmad just made some clarifications. According to a report in the Malay Mail, those contraceptive injections were given to Orang Asli only in cases where pregnancy would be a health risk. And if you're thinking, what is that health risk? It would be something like anemia. He also stressed that the birth control medication wasn't permanent. They'd be able to conceive once it wore off. And he didn't specify actually what that medication was.
Still something that seems a bit unethical, or at least the lack of communication and the unclear explanations as to the rationale behind this. Just hasn't been quite satisfactory, in my opinion.
No, for sure. And I think considering how relations have been between Orang Asli and the government in recent times, it does seem very, high-handed, you know, to assume that you can just give people medication because you know what's best. You know what's best for them in any given situation without actually communicating it through.
Yeah, and I also wonder, what is the procedure for them to distribute information to the Orang Asli community? Because it was claimed that there's some fear that if they didn't take these medications, they thought that they will be forcibly injected with deadly medications. And that's just something that I wonder how could it not have been communicated properly that that this is
voluntary?
This is voluntary, and you have other options that you can say no.
Yeah. So I think there are a couple of things here, right? A, not just kind of laying out everything to do with the medication itself to say this is what would happen. This is what we're actually giving you. Here is how you can look it up. So there's that. But then there's also the procedure itself, right? Like you point out, it shouldn't be something that you feel threatened by and therefore you're accepting. So there's a lot to unpack here. I'm not sure what's going on. I hope that what comes out of the health ministry is more satisfactory soon, because right now it doesn't feel sufficient.
Yeah, and it also does seem as if the health officers involved in these do require some sort of sensitivity training when it comes to dealing with vulnerable communities such as the Orang Asli.
So we've been talking today about the Penang South Reclamation Project and how that might affect the livelihood of fishermen. We've been talking about our former Prime Minister, Najib Razak.
Pekan MP,
yes. Being put in the position of one of BN's top advisors. And we've been talking about Orang Asli and contraception and medical rights, really. If you have any thoughts on anything, call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Ayman, thank you so much for dropping by.
You're welcome.
You're listening today to Popit Popit Parliament on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.